It is good to see everyone today, and we want to praise God for a beautiful sunny Sunday on March 10th, 2019. We are looking at a message today that we have entitled, The Things That Are Impossible With Man. And it is a great, great truth that we need to learn. You know, and it's Luke 18, verse 27, and he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And those are two great truths. The problem is we don't often realize that the Lord allows impossible situations to come into our life for a reason. And we respond in one or two or three ways when an impossible situation comes into our life. Andrew Murray did a whole message on this, which he tied into humility, and it kind of got me moving in a certain situation. But I want to ask you two questions. Number one, do you recognize when an impossible situation is in your life? Something that is not possible through your own ability or morality? And secondly, how do you handle a situation once you realize it's an impossible situation? Luke chapter 18, verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says in verse 20, you know all the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, I've kept all these from my youth, but the Lord who knew his heart said, You lack one thing. Your God is your money. So I want you to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And when the man heard this, he was sorrowful, for he was very rich, and he knew that he loved his riches more than he would love God. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they said, and so they said, Who in the world then can be saved? Because they were under the same parameters he was. They had kept all the commandments. They were good Jewish people. And so as they said that, the Lord heard them and he said, You're right, it is totally impossible with man for you to achieve your own salvation. But the things that are impossible with men are now possible only with God. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we call upon you, we just want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you that you have made a way where there is no way. And Father, I want to ask you right now to forgive me a daily sin and weekly sin. And Father, I confess these things to you out loud, but Father, I just need victory over them. I need you to mortify my flesh. But I know in the filth of my sin, Father, the blood of Jesus cleanses me of all sin. And so, Father, I ask for an anointing of your Spirit, a filling of your Spirit, that you would just take over body, soul, and spirit. Let me decrease so you increase, and just use me to read these scriptures. And may your Holy Spirit be our teacher, totally and completely. Father, I pray you just take over now. In your name we pray, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, look at what he says here. In verse 26, they heard it. They said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And so I am now going to repeat myself. I want you to understand. There are situations that come into your life that are impossible, and God has a purpose for them. Two responses. Number one, a lot of times we're dealing with impossible situations. We do not recognize them, and we think we can handle them. Number two, we end up with an impossible situation. And what is our response to it? Now, notice the disciples' response. The Lord just told them there is no good work you can do. There are not good, enough good works that you can do to save yourself. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. And so the disciples respond, who then can be saved? So, what kind of a response is that? Well, when an impossible, let's say the doctor walks in today and he says, you've got stage 4 cancer, there's nothing else that we can do. Now, according to man, that's what that scripture says. There are situations that will arise in your life that are totally impossible for man's abilities to solve. So, when that happens, how do we respond? Fallen nature usually responds in two ways. Number one, you give up. You give up. You start planning your funeral. You say, I'm going to die. Number two, you say, it cannot be done. It's over. So we give up, and then we say, it cannot be done. Now, the disciples said, Lord, who can be saved? None of us are going into the kingdom of heaven. So we are going to give up. It is impossible for us to achieve it in our own strength and in our own ability. So what do we do? And Jesus says, wait a minute. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So the bottom line is when you're faced with an impossible situation, there's only one thing for you to do, and that's to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Jesus just said, there's no way that a man can save himself. So how in the world do we save ourselves? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want you to understand, I am the picture of a miracle sitting here right now. You say, Brother Leo, why are you the picture of a miracle? Because Jesus Christ saved my soul. It was otherworldly. The power that saved me was not from this world, and the power that saved me was not horizontal. It was totally vertical. So I want you to understand, when we run into a situation that is totally impossible, we are to call upon Him to reach down here to the earth and to do a mighty, divine, omnipotent work in this situation. And you need to pray that way every day of your life for situations that you are aware of and situations that are in your own life. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And you know what I'm basically teaching on here today? I'm teaching on faith. You say, Brother Leo, why are you teaching on faith? Because I want you to understand, I don't need faith for what I can do. I need faith for what I can't do and for what only God can do. So if you don't have faith in the impossible, if you don't have faith in the miraculous, it's not that you have little faith, it's not that you have much faith, you have no faith. And if you don't have faith in these miracles, I'm not sure you understand how you got saved. So you got saved by another worldly power. Now, look at what Paul's prayer here is in Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory in heaven, that you would experience a supernatural strengthening with might by His Spirit in your inner man. Now I want to read that to you again the way I read it, inserting the Greek. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory in heaven, to be strengthened with a supernatural, divine, miraculous strength and might and power by His Spirit in the inner man. I want you to understand, my friend, whatever power of God that is working within you, that is not your power. That's the power you received at salvation. So, look at what he goes on to say in verse 20. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to our power. So, we pray to Him to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to His power that works in us. You know, I pray that prayer every day for Kirtland. I pray that prayer every day for Andrew. I pray that prayer every day for Jason. I pray, Lord, I want you to do in their lives above and beyond anything I could think or ask for according to any horizontal power that exists on the face of this earth. I am grabbing your garment, the hem of your garment, for these people today, Lord Jesus. I am praying for a miracle of healing. And my friend, if we don't pray that way, we're not praying. You're asking God to do something you're capable of doing. That needs no faith. You know, I'm not asking God to help. I'm asking God to take over. I'm asking God to take over. Now, look at what he says. According, exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the otherworldly power, the power of the Holy Spirit that is working in us. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2 and let me show you one of these impossible situations we think we can handle. There are impossible situations that we think we can handle, that we just continue to knock our head up against the wall. And then there are impossible situations that we recognize and we give up on. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 12, Paul says this. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Your personal salvation needs to be worked out with reverence and respect and faith unto the Lord. For it is God which works in you. Would you say that with me? It is God which works in you. How about let's change that you to me? It is God which works in me. Let's say it again. It is God which works in me. Let's say it again. It is God which works in me. Now, it's God which works in me to accomplish His will and to do the actions that result in the things that are pleasing to Him. So what is that saying? That's saying Romans chapter 7. The good that I would do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those things I do. The evil that I shouldn't do, those are the things that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, you can't do anything in your own power and in your own strength. Anything good. So what I just told you was an impossible situation. So what do I need, Brother Leo? Well, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. God is not going to, your own power can't change you from being a jealous person. Your own power can't change you from being a nervous person. Your own power cannot change you from being a lustful person. Your own power cannot change you from being a hateful person. Your own power cannot change you from being an unforgiving person. Only the power of Jesus Christ in you can change you. And when you're trying to change yourself, it's all work-based. And a man can't be saved by works, and a man can't be changed by works after he's saved. You've got to allow or ignite the power of God to work in your life in an impossible situation. I'm trying to change myself, Brother Leo. That's impossible. I'm trying to change my loved one, Brother Leo. That's impossible. Only God has the power to do what I just read to you. So I want you to understand, my dear friend, there are red seas in your life today. You can't part them. There are walls surrounding Jericho today, my friend. You can't knock them down. There is a loved one in the tomb of Lazarus today. You can't call him out. Only God can. Are we so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit of God's power, that we're going to grow ourselves in the power of our own flesh. No. There is no man that can change himself. So you can start confessing that to God. God, if I'm trying to work on myself in a certain area, I know it's impossible, and I'm going to learn to give it over to you. Now, I'm in God's care. God is working out my life for me as He works out His life in me, and I got to start praying for that. It's not of me. It's not of me. It's not of me. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Now, that's an impossible situation. When I try to change myself, when I try to quit smoking, when I try to quit drinking, when I try to be kind to people I don't like, when I try to forgive people I don't like, when I'm counting the hours, when I'm binding myself up like a mummy, blah, 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 blah. My friend, it may last for a week, it may last for a day, but you're ultimately going to fail. Only the power of God changes things and changes them really. And you've got to unleash that power. You've got to give over to God. You've got to surrender. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, the Lord says this, I am the Lord God. Our Lord God, you have made the heaven and the earth by thy great power. That's the praise song. You have made the heaven and made the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for God. Would you say that with me? There is nothing too hard for God. Would you say that again? There is nothing too hard for God. Do you believe that? Well, then it ought to be seen in your prayer life. God, I'm going to tell you something. Healing this disease, that ain't nothing for you. You created all the universes, universes we've never seen. We're grabbing hold of you, Lord. And when somebody says, Brother Leo, you don't know this person. You know, they're never going to get saved. They've been mean and they've been hateful and they've been this, that, and the other. You're telling me God can't save that person? There is nothing too hard for God. So God allows you. That was one of my questions in the intro. God allows impossible situations to come into your life so that you'll recognize they're impossible for you and man to achieve, and you will call on the Lord with faith, believing that His power can do a work in this situation. I'm not going to take you there right now, but do you understand if you took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and pulled it out of your Bible? I'm at Matthew. Let me see if I can do this. If you took Matthew, Mark, okay, here's John. I can include the book of Acts. But if you took this section of your Bible and you took the miracles out of it, all right, I'm talking about the stories about the miracles. You took the miracles out of it, you'd have about this much. I want you to understand, Christianity is all about walking on water, calling Lazarus out of the grave, healing the blind man, healing the leper man. You know, changing the life of Zacchaeus and Matthew and Peter and John and Andrew. You know, it's all about Jesus raising from the dead. It's all about Him carrying all the sins of all generations miraculously on His body, on the cross. It's about Him feeding the 5,000. It's about Him saying, cast your net over here and catching 153 fish. It's about, and then if you go back to Genesis and the water coming out of the rock and the parting of the Red Sea and the wall. The whole Bible is a book of things that are impossible with man. Amen. But only possible with God. And today's church has lost that. You wouldn't believe how many Christians I talk to and say, oh, Brother Leo, it's bad. It's over. We're just giving up. Oh, Brother Leo, you know, I'm never going to get any better. You know what the doctor told me? I am never going to get any better. Is that what he told you? Well, let me tell you something. You got two chances. You got a chance to get better here on earth than you've ever been if God sees fit to reach down and touch you. And the second chance is you are definitely going to get better when you leave this old fallen world. So don't tell me, Christian, you're never going to get better. That's a lie. Why do we speak lies? We are going to get better. And it is the power of God. And we need to realize what's impossible with man, the things we don't recognize, and then the ones that we do, we just grab hold of Him even harder and even stronger because our God told us they are possible with me. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Let me show you our mistake. You got to get over it, man. I got to get over it. In Luke chapter 1, Mary's being told by angels she's going to have a baby. And in verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now let me show you the first mistake of human nature in this situation. When we're confronted with a situation, the first thing we do, we look to self and don't look to God. Let me say it again. When you're confronted with a situation, fallen human nature always looks at self before it looks to God. We look to self and not to God. So what would be the righteous thing to do? Look to God before you look to self. So what could Mary have said? Mary could have said, well, if God has sent you here, and I believe He has because you're an angel, and you brought this situation into my life, well, tell me something. How is God going to accomplish this through me? Now, I'm not picking on Mary. I'm just telling you the truth. This is the way we need to respond. Well, the angel says, the Holy Spirit's going to do this work. He's going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And that holy thing, which is going to be born in you, is going to be the Son of God. The angel's saying, Mary, it's not going to depend on you. It's going to depend on you opening yourself up to allow God to work in you and through you. Because guess what, Mary? It is impossible for you. Because you know not a man. So here God lets an impossible situation come into Mary's life. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 19, we see the story of Abraham and Sarah. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. I'm just going to stop right there. So what did Abraham do when he was told he'd be the father of many nations? Well, he knew he was past childbearing years, so what did he do? He didn't look at his own ability because he knew it was impossible for him to achieve that. Now, isn't that wonderful? Now, he had a choice. He either looked to God or he gave up. But he didn't have a choice. He knew he couldn't achieve this within his own body. And so he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God promised, God was going to be the one that had to perform it. Do you ever pray that prayer? God, you're the one that's going to have to do this. I can't do it. God, you're going to be the one that has to do this. I cannot do it. My friend, that's a great prayer. And it's one you need to pray. There are things in your life right now that are impossible. You can't do it. You think you can't. You know, and I'll give you an example of your pride right now. I'll ask you a question. Is there anything in your life right now that's impossible for you to handle? And if you say, you know, Brother Lil, I just can't think any. Man, you better get on your knees. You think you're handling things that you shouldn't be. I can't save myself. I can't grow myself. I'm saved by the Spirit and I'm grown by the Spirit. I can't do enough good works to save myself. I can't do enough good works to make myself a better Christian. Only the Lord can do that. Go with me to John chapter 11. Abraham could have said, if I can't do it, it can't be done. You ever had that attitude? Boy, if I can't do it, Brother Leo can't help me do it. If the doctors can't help me do it. Boy, if the school teacher can't help me. The counselor can't help me. It can't be done. There are things that are impossible with man in everybody's life that's sitting in this room. It just doesn't happen to Mary. It just doesn't happen at the Red Sea. You got your own Red Seas. We'll look at that before we close. But look at what it says, John 11, verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it unto you. And Jesus said, your brother's going to rise again. And Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never ever die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, I believe. But what I want you to understand about her, is that one of her thoughts were, Lord, you've got the power to heal him, but I'm not so sure you're going to raise him out of the grave. Lord, if you'd been here 4 days earlier, my brother never died. And what's she saying, Lord, you're too late. Let me tell you something, God's never too late. When God shows up, you can be dead 4 days. Guess what? If he wants to, he'll call you out of the grave. God is never too late. And God's power is unlimited. And so what happens? They go to the grave. What's Martha say? Lord, he's stinking. Please don't roll that stone away from the grave. Because she thinks he's just going to go in there and look at him and cry. I mean, why else would she? Because he wept. And so she says, I mean, if the Lord said, I'm going to raise him out of the grave, so somebody go roll the stone away. Oh man, she'd have been in on that, but she didn't think he was going to do that because she said, leave the stone, there he stinks. And he goes, Martha, 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 Martha. Goodness gracious. I'm not going in there to cry with him. I'm not even going in there. He's going to come out and walk with me. But we limit. We limit the power of God. It's impossible with man, but it is not impossible with God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. There are 3 degrees of faith, or adverbs, in the New Testament. In the Gospels. Jesus, he doesn't accuse or condemn, but he states. He states at times people that have no faith, and then people that have little faith, and then people that have much faith. So we're going to look at a guy that had much faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, and soldiers have to go where I tell them to go, and come when I tell them to come, and do this when they do this. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. And in verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way as you have believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed in that self same moment. Now, I want you to understand, why didn't Martha and Mary say that? Why didn't they send a messenger to Jesus and say, Jesus, just speak the word and Lazarus won't die? They said, go get him and bring him here. So do you see the degrees of faith? God don't even have to go there, kid. All he's got to do is say the word. Do you ever pray that? Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, say the word. Say the word. Say the word. Say the healing. Say the change. Put love in my heart, Lord, for this person. Help me to forgive. Say the word. Give me your wisdom. The power of God working miraculously in your life. You've got Red Seas in your life right now. You've got walls around Jericho. There is a tomb and Lazarus is in it. Go with me to Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to close out with this. You say, Brother Leo, let me see here. It's 11:31 Central Time. How in the world are you going to close out? Well, thou lost an hour last night. And I'm giving you back 30 minutes of it. I really am. Exodus 14, verse 13 says this. They stand there before the Red Sea, and Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, and you lift out that rod, and I will part that Red Sea, and you will go forward. So what is the Lord telling us about these impossible situations? The Lord is telling us there are times in life where we need to acknowledge and recognize that all hope is gone horizontally, that we are seeing a situation that's impossible with man, but we are going to stand still and we are going to call upon the name and the power of God to do a work. And my friend, that's what faith is all about. I don't have faith. I don't have to have faith in something a man can do for me. I don't have to have faith in something that I can do for myself. But I only exercise my faith when I'm calling upon God to do something that I know I can't. And even if I think I can do it a little bit, I know God can do it better. This whole book. I mean, when you get the book of Revelation, I mean, we might as well, that whole thing is the miracles of God. I want to read one more thing to you, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Did you know that the Bible could have been bigger? You say, what do you mean, Brother Leo? They canonized the Bible and, you know, they put certain books in, left certain books out. Are you saying that there were books they left out they should have put in? No, I'm not saying that. It's possible. But did you know that your Bible could have been bigger? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John could have been a lot longer. You say, well, Brother Leo, how do you know that? Because in John chapter 20, verse 30, it says this. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Alright, so there's more that he didn't write down. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, that word signs in the Greek, I'm going to read you the definition. And it's short, but it's semi, S-E-M-E, ion, I-O-N. And it means a miracle. It means many other miracles God could have done. It's a miracle with an ethical end and purpose. These miracles are valued not so much for what they are or what they accomplish. These miracles are valued for what they indicate of the power that lies upon the doer. So these miracles are done so that you'll look at the doer and say, wow, he's doing that in the power of God. The miracles are important, but they don't stand alone on themselves. They're so you'll look at that the doer of the miracles has an immediate connection with a higher spiritual world and power. Isn't that wonderful? That the doer of the miracle has a higher connection with the higher spiritual world and power. You say, well, that's Jesus. Well, it was Jesus, but that word's used for John and James and in the book of Acts when Paul did something. That same word is used to show that those men had a connection with a power from a higher spiritual world. And you've got that same connection. You say, Brother Leo, I got the gift of healing. You may. But for sure, your prayers have that connection. You can grab hold of the power of God. Would you say that with me? I can grab hold of the power of God. Would you say it again? I can grab hold of the power of God. The things that are impossible with men, and you have those kind of situations in your life today, are only possible by the power of God. When you get alone with God tonight and say, Lord, show me a situation I'm trying to handle in my own power and this Red Sea just is not parting. Let me give it over to you. And Father, show me some situations where I can pray for some folks and grab hold of them in a special, special way.